What happens in the sky affects life down here on Earth. The Celestial Compass shows you how and guides your way with astrology you can use from professional astrologer Kathy Beal. Every episode features her light-hearted, practical forecasts and navigational tips, blended with humor, optimism, and a love of patterns, symbolism, and pop culture references. Kathy translates technicalities into concepts that apply to real life. You'll learn how the current moment ties to where we've been, from the recent past to cycles that last happened years ago, and get a look at where we're heading. And much more, from special topics to special guests. The Celestial Compass, enlightening, entertaining, and empowering. Here's your host, Kathy Beal.
Greetings, Earthlings. This is Kathy Beal of EmpowermentUnlimited.net with an episode that is especially suited to the astrology of the moment. And let me touch on that briefly, updating you on what's coming in April. Such a diverse, complex, and actually forward-moving month. Today, as I'm speaking, April 4, we begin a new two-year cycle of mastering our energy. Mars and Saturn are conjunct in Aquarius. Moving forward, push, drive, the cosmic first responder, having a meeting with the taskmaster, the party pooper of the zodiac, the planet of adulting, the guy who likes structure, all of which is going to end up being very much to our benefit, as we will discuss for most of the show. As the month goes on, there are two very different sorts of influences. The overriding atmosphere is diffuse and filled with imagination and escapism and encouraging you to stare at the clouds and pay attention to your dreams. And I would also encourage you to stare at the clouds and pay attention to your dreams and spend a lot of time letting your being go fallow and see what flows into you. Because Jupiter, the guy that ups the ante of any action he gets near, is meeting with Neptune, the cosmic fog machine, the most transcendent influence that we have. They will meet exactly on the 12th. For all purposes, they're conjunct now. We'll be feeling the effect of their teamwork well into May. We have been feeling it for months. And it's this unhinging influence that happens once every 150 years or so. So nobody that's currently alive has ever experienced it quite like this. They're in the sign of Pisces, which is making us hyper aware of the experience of people on the other side of the planet, hyper aware of the experience of people we will never meet. And I would put it to you that social media making so real moment by moment what's happening in Ukraine is making our experience of war very, very different, much like when in the 60s there were actual broadcasting of things that were going on in Vietnam and people started to see in their own homes what was happening somewhere else. That's happening, encouraging us to just kind of float at the same time that a bunch of other influences are telling us to pay attention to the ground, to pay attention to physicality, to pay attention to what's in our bank account. So we have grounding cords, and the Mars-Saturn conjunction is one of those. And all of this is leading to the return of eclipses, which start again at the end of the month in the signs of Taurus and Scorpio. The first one is the Taurus new moon on April 30th, a solar eclipse. Then there's a lunar eclipse in Scorpio in May. And these are in the signs that have to do with money and resources. Big, big, big stuff coming. Lots of details in my forecast for April, which you'll find at Om Times, and also my site, EmpowermentUnlimited.net. So, and now to how this dovetails with what we're talking about. we're on the Mars-Saturn conjunction. How do you take off, no matter how limiting your circumstances may feel? And for that, I have as a guest, professional coach and trainer Mitch Savoy Hill, who has written a book called Volar, How to Turn Roadblocks into Runways to Success. Now, Mitch is a certified professional coach, an international TEDx speaker, and corporate trainer with more than 25 years of hospitality and leadership experience. She started in the hospitality industry as a singing waitress in New York City when she was 18 years old, and later went on to manage teams for international companies in the restaurant, hotel, property management, and construction industries. She's a first-generation American born of Cuban exile parents who survived a myriad of adventures and her fair share of discrimination and adversity. As the CEO and founder of Sav Hill Consulting, LLC, she delivers inclusive leadership, coaching, corporate training, and keynote speeches that help her audiences learn how to truly engage their diverse clients and teams to achieve optimum productivity and success. Now I'm going to take a breath. Hi, Mitch.
Hi, that was fantastic.
And for all of you out there in radio land, this is another instance of my having a guest that I actually know in real life. We have shared time-space coordinates. Mitch, we met through music, right?
That's
right. In a master class, a vocal master class, with my crazy vocal coach, David Maiullo. And you were playing like in the Allendale Bar and Grill. You were playing in bars at that point.
Yes. And I had a CD out, just a 5-song EP, and I was working hard at being a rock star.
And yet, when we linked up on social media a few years back, I kept seeing all these posts about coaching and wondering, wait a minute, she's a musician. How did she get there? So can you tell us a little bit about the path your life has taken?
Absolutely. It's been quite a journey. And anyone who picks up my book will get some really fun stories on that with details. But basically, all along my, pretty much since I was 17 years old, all along my path, I've been a creative. I went to NYU for musical theater. I was always on stages and singer-songwriter. But as we all know, or most of us know who've ever tried to do creative endeavors, you need something else to pay the bills. And for me, that was hospitality. So at a young age, as you said, 18 years old, I was a singing waitress in New York City. That was fun. And then, you know, funny enough, that led to later on a career in hospitality management. So, you know, at one point I went from homeless to six-figure income executive. And again, that's all the details are in the book. It's a lot of fun adventures along the way. But everything that I learned in both being an artist on stage and also training teams, dealing in the hospitality world with difficult people, conflict management, sales and marketing, all of that led me to be able to figure out a formula for success, basically a formula to engage your vision, which is really funny that you talked about sitting and looking at the clouds and letting your vision, basically letting your vision come to you and get clear. And I talk a lot about that in my book. So it was really beautiful that you touched on that at the beginning. But at a certain point, pretty much 3 months before COVID shut everything down, I walked away from my six-figure income corporate job as a regional director of sales and marketing to focus on my own business, Sawfill Consulting. Who would have thought that 3 months later, the whole world would be shut down? Adversity. But I quickly used my formula and I turned, you know, a very difficult situation around, and I found the advantage in my adversity. And, you know, that year when a lot of businesses were going out of business, I was able to grow my business. I delivered my first TED Talk, and I really learned and honed in my coaching and speaking skills so that now I've got my book and I'm out there speaking again live, and it feels so good to be out again live, doesn't it?
Oh, boy. Yeah. I've been doing that too. But now a lot of what you're saying dovetails back completely into the astrology of today being our starting point, the meeting of Mars, drive, and Saturn structure, which is pretty much an astrological formula for roadblocks. Now, I wanted to mention, when I was first studying astrology in Texas, one of our classes was completely on Saturn. Everybody had this, ooh, yuck, Saturn response. And we came up with the mantra, Saturn is my friend. And something would happen, and you'd go, yeah, Saturn is my friend, which is kind of a parallel to one of the big points of your book, which is roadblocks can actually work to a person's advantage.
Yes. Well,
they can make you stop and at least think.
Yes. Yes. But not just that. It's if you know, I'm a lover of movies and stories about people who did really great things despite really big obstacles. And usually there's this formula in all those movies where the person hits a really big roadblock and thinks, oh, I'm not going to make it. And it's that point, that pivotal point where they can either give up and go another way or learn something from that roadblock that actually makes them stronger. What I always say, your adversity is your advantage. If you can look with clarity and find the advantage and ask yourself, what's the advantage? What am I supposed to learn here? Then that only makes you smarter, work harder, and really get to the other side. If you get to the other side, that adversity was your advantage, always.
So what you're describing here is something like, it's the antithesis of what a lot of people, especially younger in life, do. Something happens that doesn't go the way they think that they wanted it to go, or some massive roadblock hits, and they blame somebody, or they get really, really upset, or they sit there and go, poor me, or they ask why. Mm-hmm. And you say specifically to ask what. Can you expand on asking what?
Yes, it's one of my favorite. There's a lot of little sections in my book called Mitch's Words of Wisdom. And that's one of my favorites that I use a lot in my keynote speeches. I say, when adversity rears its ugly head, don't ask why, ask what instead. Don't ask why. Why me? Why now? Why, God, why? Right? Instead, ask what. Okay, what now? What next? What am I supposed to learn from this? What open door will this closed door now afford me? If you can do that, you can get out of any situation a lot stronger. It's when we, you know, retreat into ourselves, or we find somebody to blame, or we give into being victims that, you know, and there's people like that, tons of people. Like, I won't coach people like that. That's why I do an introductory coaching session. If I see that somebody just can't introspect and can't take responsibility and can't say, okay, I'm here, let me see, you know, what I could have done different, what I'll do differently next time. If somebody can't do that, then they're not coachable and they're not going to succeed in life. But if you can ask what instead of why, you will succeed. Just not always do you end up where you thought you were going to end up. You know, the universe has plans for us too, right? But you always end up somewhere pretty incredible if you let yourself follow your intuition.
So maybe another what question might be, what can I do about this? Or what can I do now that I couldn't do before?
Sure. Always. Because after the what now, you know, what next is the what are the action steps? Which is really funny that, you know, we are in this astrological place where, yes, it's roadblocks, but it's also prompting action, maybe a new action. You know, so another coaching question that I ask is to look at where you are now and say, what do I need more of? What do I need to get rid of? What do I need to change? It's the three what questions. What do I need more of? What do I need to get rid of? What do I need to change? And from there, mm-hmm. you create an action plan, a simple action plan. Because I live by the KISS rule. You know the KISS rule, Kathy?
Yep. Why don't you spell it out?
Keep it stupid simple. You weren't expecting it that way, right?
I'm open. You know, and sometimes I have found that if you start thinking about what you can do about things and you get yourself out of the emotional misery that can sometimes come with a roadblock, very often you see you have dodged a bullet.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I'm so glad that what I thought I wanted didn't happen.
Oh, absolutely. That can happen in jobs. I've seen that happen in relationships, or somebody's lamenting over a breakup and then find out that the person they were lamenting over was really not a good person. Like, they dodged the bullet, right?
I have so many stories in that arena. Right, right. So, I've actually thrown my own variant of this has been, how does it benefit you? And in some relationship conversations I've had with people going through trouble lately, I have been startled by what they realize they can now do. And with that little teaser, we're going to take our first break. Hang on, everybody. We'll be back very shortly.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Want help with your own celestial compass? Visit my site, empowermentunlimited.net, for Astro Insight forecasts for each week, month, and new and full moon. Want to explore the personal impact? Make a decision? Understand another person? It is possible. Click the services tab to book a personal session with me. That address again, empowermentunlimited.net.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back to Celestial Compass. We're talking today with Mitch Savoy Hill, author of the book Volare. I've got it, the whole thing here. How to Turn Roadblocks into Runways for Success. I have so many pieces of paper in front of me. And right before the break, we were talking about dodging bullets as a particular advantage of a roadblock. And I'm curious, can you give some examples of some particularly good examples of turning a roadblock to your advantage?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, one of them was that moment I found myself in LA, homeless in LA, suddenly homeless. Like when I went to work that morning, I had a place to live. And when I came home, I suddenly did not. The unfortunate circumstances that happened that day led me to have to pick up all my things and basically leave the place I was staying with no money in the bank, nothing in savings. I was working as a supervisor, lead trainer for a restaurant during the day, and at night, putting all of my resources into trying to be a rock star. And I had made some headway. I had, you know, a CD. I got a song on a TV show, Ugly Betty. You remember Ugly Betty, Kathy?
Yes, I remember seeing that you had that song and going, wow, how did this happen?
Yeah.
It's in the book, folks.
Yeah. It's
okay, so you're homeless. You grabbed all your stuff and you're looking around going, now what?
I'm homeless. I have shoved all my things into a tiny little, storage space and was basically couch surfing, figuring out what the heck am I going to do. So I went to my thinking spot, and I think everybody needs to have their thinking spot. For me, that's always been the beach. It's sitting on the sand, looking out into the ocean, and decided that it was time to recalibrate. And it's a lot what volar, the title of my book means to fly in Spanish. But volar is also the formula. The V is for vision and clarifying your vision. The O is for opportunity and seizing the right opportunities. The L is for lean on your resources. The A is for actualize a plan. And the R is for recalibrate when necessary. So there I was, having to recalibrate, hitting this major roadblock. And as I sat there, everything became clear to me. My boss had been really pushing for me to go into management training, and it was a very prestigious training program with a national restaurant group. So I decided to raise my hand and say yes, please, to the opportunity. And then I had to lean on a resource. I had a friend with a very big heart, Paley Chen, native LA Valley girl, who loaned me the exact cash I needed to secure an apartment. I mean, who does that? And then it was time to actualize my plan, which was finish my manager training in record time, pay my friend back, and start to really pay down my bills and succeed in this new career. And the new career ended up being fabulous, because what I realized was that I had a knack, not just for managing and training teams, but we were a manager training store. So I realized I had a knack for training managers, for really working and mentoring and shaping new leaders, and that I had a passion for it. And that eventually led me to where I am today, entrepreneur, owning my own business, coaching executives, speaking on stages. So I essentially am a rock star, but just a different kind. I'm on stages, I'm still rocking the stage, but just a little different now, right?
And so funny, when you applied to the Tisch School of the Arts at NYU, you wanted musical theater because you loved singing, yes, and you got thrown into acting instead.
Yes.
And so now you're talking on stage rather than playing your guitar.
That's right. But not just that. One of the biggest things that I get called upon to coach and speak on now is public speaking. So I have a whole public speaking course. And it's one of the biggest things, right? And especially now, as people are I think they're coming back into the office, or leaders are having to address an audience, not a Zoom meeting, a lot of people are calling me to do these public speaking workshops. Because as you know, even as a singer, there's a lot of technique and there's a lot of prep work and there's a lot of mindset work to be able to get up on a stage and really own that room. And now I teach others how to do that. And I love it. I love that teaching piece. So I know I'm really doing what I was meant to be doing, but I would have never known that had I not hit that roadblock, you know, over 10 years ago.
So how did you actually come up with the step-by-step formula that you have incorporated or encapsulated as volar? And I'm sorry, my Spanish is terrible.
Volar.
Well, you're nice. how did you realize what you were doing and go, oh, wait a minute, step by step by step, oh, here's my name. I mean, were you staring at the beach? Were you in your thinking place when it fell into your head? The word is in this language. I mean, what was your process? Do you remember?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. Because it had several iterations. The steps I came up with just from, you know, after I got certified as a coach and I started to coach a lot, I started to see that there was basically this formula. It really was very natural. And it is a natural formula if you think about it. A lot of the times, you know, people were trying to actualize a plan when they didn't even know what the vision was. And I was like, no. It's out of step. You got to be clear about the vision. Or they had an opportunity, but they didn't lean on their resources. They didn't know how to ask for help, right? Or, you know, or things didn't go right and they didn't know that how to recalibrate. That, okay, when things don't go right, you just shift. So a lot of it was in the process of writing my own stories, in the process of studying people like my grandmother, who was a Cuban exile, who came to this country with no language, no money, but eventually became an entrepreneur herself, a very successful businesswoman, and studying what was successful for her. So I studied a lot of successful people. I studied the people I was coaching, and I realized within even my own story that there really always was this pattern. And when I coach people through the pattern, when I applied it myself, it always works. And then I wanted a catchy, you know, acronym. Speakers love acronyms and I love acronyms. It's easy to remember things. But I thought Volad was so perfect because I've always been obsessed with flying. I can, you know, that vision, that cover, my book cover is my favorite spot. It's like looking at a bird flying over the ocean, that freedom, that clarity, that power that comes with that flight. So Volad was just perfect. I mean, it just was just the right word, the right sequence. It all came together.
So let's talk through some of the steps. The first one, vision, you have several parts to it: detail, drive, decision. Can you elaborate on that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So the first step is to clarify your vision, and that's as a person, that's as, you know, if you want to get the perfect partner in life, or that's if you're trying to get promoted or lead a team. For vision, and I always tell my executives, when the team doesn't come together or they're kind of splintered, you push the vision. You push the vision because the vision is what brings everybody together, and it's got to be a vision that compels them. But the vision has to have what I call the 3 Ds. It has to be in 3D, which means you have to be able to actually see it, feel it, get the feeling. Feeling is very important. Feeling of what it will feel like when you accomplish that vision. But it also has to have the 3 Ds: detail, decision, and drive, right? So the detail is pretty self-explanatory. Really, really see it in detail. You know, the drive is what drives you about this vision. Why is this vision important? Why does this vision compel you? And the decision is just that you have to make the decision that no matter what, you are going to accomplish this. Decision precedes action. It's another one of Mitch's words of wisdom. Decision mm-hmm. precedes action. When you really make a decision, you do it. Like, so have you ever, you know, tried to do something and then kind of like, failed, or kind of, you know, you've given up along the way, but if you look back, you really never really decided, like fully decided?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you're wishy-washy about something, it's kind of like, I've always heard that Carl Jung, the Swiss analyst, would say about the tarot that if you ask, you have to be very specific about your question. If you ask a fuzzy question, you will get a fuzzy answer.
A fuzzy answer, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this applies to relationships. I have a lot of, you know, women in particular, because a lot of my clients are women, and they'll be kind of struggling to either leave a really toxic relationship or looking for the ideal relationship. And I always say, have you written out what you want exactly in detail? Well, you know, kind of. And I'm like, well, kind of is it what you could want, right? You have to really be detailed. And believe me, take it from me, when I did that, when I wrote out exactly what I wanted, I mean, my ideal partner, he even had to love Dave Matthews, because I love Dave Matthews.
Please explain how this played out, because this is great.
I spent many, many months visualizing this man and how our relationship would be and all his qualities, but especially that he was going to love Dave Matthews. And so at a Dave Matthews concert at the Hollywood Bowl, I got a tap on the shoulder and I looked up and it was this beautiful man. And he said some corny thing about, I like the way you dance, and then scurried off because he was so, so shy. I'm a Scorpio. He's a Taurus. By the way, I was looking for a Taurus at the time. So it was really perfect. That was in my request too.
Okay.
His friends had bet him a beer. He wouldn't go talk to me, and he did, and that was it. We celebrate, this year we'll celebrate the 10th anniversary, September 12th, 2012, that we met, and we never left each other after that. I mean, it was perfect, but I knew it because I had visualized it for so long. I knew it was what I wanted when I saw it, and that's why it's important to clarify your vision. Very important.
That's one of my favorite vision stories. I've got a list too, but you know, it keeps being the monkey's paw. All right, enough of that. The next two items on your O and L, I want to kind of start with together, because although every step in your five steps is something that a person might be hesitant to do, I think the O and the L steps are the ones that people are incredibly hesitant. Taking opportunities and leaning on resources. Would you agree? Am I oversimplifying here?
Absolutely. No. I mean, opportunities, so many times we shy away from opportunities because we don't think we're good enough or we're ready enough or we're filling the blank enough. And then lean on your resources. First of all, most of the time, my clients don't even realize how many resources they have. They come with a very limited idea. And then when I stretch their horizons and get them to really dig deep and understand what a resource is, then they see the abundance that they actually have on their fingertips. But then I'll get the question, well, Mitch, just like when I was out there homeless and I had to ask my friend to borrow money, which was very difficult and embarrassing and demeaning and all those things, right? And I have people say, well, what if I don't have a friend like that? Or, well, how do you make an ask like that? Because people will tend to not ask for help. So I say two things. One, I turn it around and say, if somebody was in need and they needed your help, wouldn't you give them your help? Oh, yeah, well, of course. Okay, so there you go. Second, if you're going to make a big ask, be clear about what you're asking, lay out your terms, and follow through. And if you go in thinking, I'm clear about what I'm asking, I'm going to lay out my terms, and then I'm going to follow through, it doesn't feel like you're asking for charity. It feels like you're asking for something, but hey, here's how I'm going to work with the ask. Here's how I'm going to pay you back, or here's how I'm going to pay it forward. Have a plan. Don't just ask. Have a plan behind your ask. But yes, imposter syndrome, people not valuing themselves. I see this especially in women. You know, not asking for the raise that they really deserve because they don't think, they're not good enough or they don't see their value. O and L are probably, as a coach, the thing that I work on the most, the biggest barrier, the biggest, you know, struggle and challenge for most people.
And
the
I
plan,
would think that
once you get a good plan in motion, you get in motion, right? But yeah, the O and L, you're right. It's the toughest. It's mindset.
And it is mindset. And I think often people don't believe either of those. They don't believe they can have. That to me has been, I mean, that's certainly in my younger life. I mean, when I was in law school and desperately unhappy and not really wanting to practice law, I got this wild hair and I wrote to the station manager of the public television station in Dallas and just said, I'm a Phi Beta Kappa graduate of blah, 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 and here I am in this law school, and here are my credentials, and can I come to talk to you about working for public television? And he gave me an appointment, and we sat and talked, and he explained what it would be for me to submit a proposal to produce a program. And I drove away and went,
wow.
No, that'll never happen. No, he wouldn't do it. No, I don't know how to do this. And there are times I sit back and go, do you realize you got in the door and nobody gets in? I'm like, what?
Wow.
So yeah, people just, it's really easy to just discount something that comes your way because you don't believe it could actually happen.
Yeah, you got your foot in the door. And even with your foot in the door, you were telling yourself, it'll never happen. But you got there, and you're still telling yourself, it'll never happen.
That this isn't going to happen. Nope.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. It's so sad. We're our own barrier. We're our own biggest roadblock.
Well, there we go. That's it for everybody. Now we can just stop the show. We are our own biggest roadblocks. And I'm actually going to let us sit and ruminate on that and take the next break just a few seconds early. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Hang tight, folks.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
How would you like navigational tools you can use on your own? Visit my site, empowermentunlimited.net, and click the Shop tab. There you'll find lots of talks and guides explaining the big influences at work now, like Saturn in Aquarius and Uranus in Taurus. You'll also find a variety of guided visualizations for relaxing, clearing your energy, or getting to know planetary archetypes. That address again, empowermentunlimited.net.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
If I could be you,
and you could be me for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back to Celestial Compass. We are talking today about turning roadblocks into runways with Mitch Savoy Hill, author of Volar, which actually breaks down to vision, opportunity, leaning on your resources, actualizing a plan, and recalibrating when necessary. So we've just been talking about the O and the L and people's hesitance to actually believe or ask for or accept. Some people have a lot of trouble accepting help. Have you run into that?
Oh, yes. And especially people who are a little bit more proud, you know, or if they've never really struggled before. You know, I like you, I think we talked about, you know, coming from a poor background, and I struggled a lot growing up. My mother definitely, you know, had some rough times there. So we didn't have much. So I think that again, your adversity is your advantage. There's not a lot that scares me, I say, because I've struggled many times over and overcome it. But people who have never had to struggle, and then suddenly, maybe later in life, or maybe, you know, young in their career, they hit a roadblock. They freak out. They don't know how to ask for help. They maybe don't want to ask for help because they don't want to admit that they're failing. And failure is temporary. Right? Failure is temporary, and failure is also a very great lesson. our biggest lessons come from failure. But if you've never failed before, that first time, oh boy, it could be hard. It could be really hard to ask for help.
There's a lot of ego and expectations, and I'm not sure what else. But, you know, the more you get knocked around, for many people, I'm not going to say for most, but for many people, you start to see other ways that you could do things. And I'm not going to say that I welcome this kind of thing, but more often than not, when something happens that isn't the way I thought it was going to go, it is a, okay, now what? Why is this better? And generally it is better, whatever it is that comes out. And with the leaning on your resources part, one thing I've observed, I don't know if you have too, is that sometimes it takes falling apart physically before you will accept things from other people.
Yes. Or, because this is a true testament of humanity being basically good, sometimes it takes somebody close to you really needing the help for you to actually take steps to asking for help. Sometimes, you know, people will allow the worst things to happen to themselves, but once it affects somebody they love, hold on, now I got to do something.
Oh,
and that's
true.
That's kind of remarkable. Mm-hmm.
It's often easier to ask for it for someone else than directly for yourself. Yeah. So then we got VOLA, actualize a plan. What in the world does that mean?
I love the word actualize because it infers action. There's so many people make plans and there's so many goal setting books and there's so many workshops on setting goals and SMART goals and, you know, but how come people still can't execute? And it's because I have found some of the biggest challenges to actually seeing a plan all the way through and they're in my book, but I'll touch on just, you know, one or two of them. One of them is they make the plan too complicated. They get lost in the weeds. There's like a 20-step plan. You know, I coach my clients to do three things in 3 months. Okay, you got a big vision. Let's look at the next 3 months. What are the three things you're going to do in the next 3 months that are going to actually get you closer to that vision, right? Very simple. Simple doesn't mean easy, but simple. You can wrap your head around it. So they make the plan too complicated or they make the plan too vague. You know, the steps in the plan are like, okay, that's really lofty wording, but what are you actually going to do? But what are the action items, the action steps? When I coach somebody at the end of each session, they'll have 3, 2, 4 action items they actually walk away with. And they have to, I hold them accountable for that. And so sometimes it's also having somebody to help you, to hold you accountable, or a mentor to say, hey, my plan isn't working. Do you have any suggestions or what has worked for you? How do I recalibrate, right? So keeping it simple, having accountability, and then actually doing the steps. Sounds simple, but really that's all it takes. It is that simple.
And you can write it down. There's an online, there's a site you can use called Trello, T-R-E-L-O-O, where you make little boards and you can move items around. You can have it with a group or just you. Or like, this is what I'm going to do. Here are my steps. And you move the items from I'm going to do this to I have done this. Just move them across the little board. I have these set up. And of course, do I use them? La, 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 la.
So you got to do the steps. I like an app called Todoist. Todoist. Very simple little app, but it has different, you can have different categories. And you put your little to-do items, and you actually can put dates to them. But the great thing about this, especially for my executive clients, is you can share certain folders. So my husband and I, for example, have a household to-do folder. So, you know, it'll be give the dog her eye drops, you know, Windex the windows. And, you know, when one of us gets it done, we check it off and the other person immediately is alerted. Oh, good, it's done. I don't have to worry about it, right? So group goals, great for that. Whatever is your system, some people are better with writing because pen to paper does activate a different part of your brain. Write it down, but keep it simple. I kind of do a combination of all, but I have to change it up.
So it sounds like we all need to summon an inner Virgo somehow and make the to-do lists and get going with it. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so you clarified your vision.
Of an Aries.
The tenacity of an Aries. Well, no, it's the tenacity of a Scorpio. Because the Aries could do one thing.
I don't want to sound egotistical.
No. Don't worry about that. No, Aries will go after it for a bit, and then it'll find something new to go after. Just as dramatically. New adventure. Here we go. Bam. And all my Aries friends are going to send me nasty messages. So we've gone through... clarifying your vision with detail and deciding that you're going to actually go for it, taking opportunities that show up, not running from them. Don't be me as a 22-year-old. Do not do that. Leaning on resources and actually accepting help. Actually, side note on that one, resources are not, there's so many things that can be a resource. What are some like intangibles or stuff that people don't normally think of and you point it out to them and they go, I didn't realize I had that?
Great question, because that is the key question. Resources are not just the money in your bank or physical assets. Resources are your education, and that doesn't mean the diploma on the wall. Anybody can get education from anywhere, especially nowadays. Google, a podcast, you know, listening to books on audio. Resources can be the skills that you've learned along the way that sometimes you don't think are applicable to a job that you're applying for, but they absolutely are. They're skills that maybe weren't under the title of the job description that you were looking for now, but they definitely fit. Like in restaurant management, there's a lot of conflict management in customer service. And so that can be transferable over to an executive role. Well, now you're handling conflicts and a lot of customer service in a lot of situations, right? So resources are also our mentors, our professional networks. There's so many professional networks that people don't even lean on. I have a friend who's a brand new HR manager, doesn't really have an HR background, but here she is, landed in the role and is great for it. But there's a lot she doesn't know. So I said, you know, have you looked into, you know, SHRM, the Society for HR Managers? Oh, no, not really. But yes, that's, you know, get into your professional organizations, meet other people who are doing what you're doing. They are resources. And then obviously you've heard your net worth is equal to your network. So your network, you know, social media, there's a lot of, you know, not positive things about social media, but there's a lot of phenomenal resources through social media. LinkedIn is how I got my TED Talk. LinkedIn is how I've reached out and gotten a lot of the clients that I got, but you have to use it smartly and professionally. Mm-hmm. So those are just some resources. Look how many I've already, you know, enumerated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, VOL, actualizing a plan. So that's actually coming up with the steps that you're going to go through and doing it. And then R, recalibrate when necessary. This is plan B. This is, oops, that didn't go the way I thought it was going to. Now what? What is
recalibrate? It can be. It can also be clarity of knowing when your plan that you're trying to actualize isn't working and saying, okay, well, what's not working about this plan? What do I need to? Sometimes it's just a little change. It's a little shift, right? I say recalibration is like when you look at a dancer, a ballet dancer, and you think she's standing perfectly still, but really she's making a million tiny little movements, little recalibrations to stay on balance. Recalibrate when necessary can even be a quick life shift so that you have more balance in your life, work-life balance or family balance. So recalibrate when necessary. Again, it's those three questions I have my coaching clients look at every week. Every week they're recalibrating. What do I need more of? What do I need to get rid of? What do I need to change? Those are good recalibrating questions you can ask yourself at the end of every week. You look at the week that passed, look at your goals, and then ask yourself that. So then you're always making little shifts and changes rather than dragging a plan out that's just not working. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And so this can be like an ongoing cycle, the Valar
Absolutely.
Approach.
Yeah. Yes.
One giant loop. And now we're going to do it again.
Yeah.
We're going to do it again.
Everything just
simple. Well, oh, yes. All right. So now, and one final thing, you have, you mentioned this throughout the book, you have Mitch's words of wisdom, little boxes with, with quotes with that as the heading. You have any favorite ones?
I do. I think I love, if you often make yourself a great resource to others, you will find no shortage of resources when you need one. It's the farmer's law. You reap what you sow. And that leans a lot into that lean on your resources. You know, you'll be a lot quicker to ask for help if you know that you are always helping others and you always make yourself a point of service. Then when you need it, you won't have any qualms about it because, hey, you always help everybody, right? So you might not always get the help in the same place where you give it, but the universe will give it back to you. So that's my belief anyway. And the other one is your true calling comes within the scope of your greatest gift. Your true calling comes within the scope of your greatest gift. And it's a little bit of a callback to the Bhagavad Gita, Hindu text, and Dharma, this idea of Dharma. Right now, especially, I have a lot of people coming to me for coaching because they want to make a transition. They don't know what they want to transition to, but they know they're miserable with what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Big transition time. And so I have them really take a lot of time to meditate on and journal on what are the activities that energize them, what are the activities that they do well. Because I'm not going to be an Olympic star. That's not my talent. And you know what? It's never been my calling anyway. I don't want to be one. But my true calling came in what I was good at, connecting, engaging, teaching. So it's your true calling will come in, you know, you have gifts. We were born with gifts. And so it's figuring out how those gifts are part of your true calling and then doing it. Because if you're doing it every day, you probably will be a lot happier.
And I'm going to throw in being in the spotlight because you started out as a performer.
Yes. Yes.
And
I do love
writing your own music.
But that's about engaging.
Well, writing your own music and singing. So expressing yourself, and you are expressing yourself constantly and passionately.
Well, thank you.
Getting the attention of people much as you did when you were a bartender in South Beach. I mean, it all makes it all fits together.
It does.
A diverse and unusual skill set.
Every single piece of
it. So, if you want to, can you leave people with like a thought that sums up all of this before we talk about where they can find you and stuff? That's a hard one, I know.
I think it all goes back to. What almost was the title of the book, and that's your adversity is your advantage. You just have to relax and get yourself clear and really ask yourself, how can this adversity be my advantage? And that could even be the death of a loved one. You know, how could that be? Well, you know, maybe the death of a loved one will, when you go through it, you will be able to help others who have lost people. You'll be able to counsel maybe children who have lost people. So everything that can happen that's negative, you can find a positive side to it. You can use it to your advantage. You can make something positive about it. You just have to want to do that.
And if you ask, especially with the energies as they are this month, ask for insight. And when you're just going about your own business or sitting staring off at the clouds or waking up from a nap or a dream, it's going to just bubble up into your consciousness. So this is the optimal time to ask for that kind of information.
Oh, I love that. I'm definitely going to be doing that this month.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. Find your thinking place wherever it is at this point. I know you're not on a beach exactly, but you can get near water, I'm sure.
Yes.
So where can people find your book?
VolarNow.com, because you want to fly right now. VolarNow.com and SavHillConsulting.com is where you can find me. You can book an introductory coaching session, or you can book Mitch as a speaker or do some corporate training. It's all there. SavHillConsulting.com will lead you to all the different options.
And would you spell that out? It's SAVHILL consulting.com, right?
That's right. So I'm SavHillConsulting.com. Or even if you put MitchSavoie.com, it'll lead you to that as well. And LinkedIn, on LinkedIn, I live on LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn, and I'm always posting interesting little articles and things, so you can follow me on LinkedIn, and that's again / either SavHill Consulting or Mitch Savoie Hill.
And I have been mispronouncing your last name for years, and I owe you a tremendous
apology. Oh, no, it's fine. A lot of people say Savoie, Savoie. It's all good.
I heard it wrong Savoie all those sweet. Years ago.
Savoie sounds sweet.
I have a dear friend with that last name. And so here we have a roadblock that I'm going to turn to my advantage somehow. Soar, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Turn those roadblocks into runways. And you'll find me at empowermentunlimited.net and talk to you again in 2 weeks. Thanks a lot, Mitch. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Kathy.